G'day, this is Big Brady Marshall.
This is Brian Alvarez.
This is Dean Brady of the Millennials.
This is the Jurassic Punk Sid Parker.
How many of you guys have heard the term kayfabe?
Blue Doggers. This is Jay Hunter from OSW Review.
This is Matt Grim Basso.
This is the loosest kid in Australian wrestling, Adam Brooks.
This is Scrap Brand Adam Pearce, and you are locked in
to Wrestle Radio Australia.
Welcome everyone to Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host Todd Eastman. I hope you all went out on the past weekend, like I say every episode, and enjoyed local pro wrestling. This weekend, are you pumped? Are you psyched? Are you ready to go? Are you going to Melbourne? I mean, let's face it, WWE Super Showdown is going to be one of the biggest shows to hit the shores in God knows how long, probably since Global Warming Tour. Jeez, English, Todd, learn it. So yeah, get around it, and if you are in Melbourne, and don't just go for the WWE, get down, check out MCW. It's going to be on the Friday night and on the Saturday morning at the Corner Hotel, I believe it is. We'll talk about more with our guests this week. Yes, yeah, so aside from that, I was at Venom Pro Wrestling on the weekend. Had a fun little survival match against Apollo Jackson, Suit Up Society, and JL Gold, who saw the light decided to join my little group of merry men. So welcome aboard, JL. It's great to see you. Actually, I am actually fairly happy because I've been waiting for a long time to be able to work with guys like Jackson Cross and guys like Headstrong, especially on the other side of the ring, if you will. So I'm actually fairly excited to see where stuff goes with that at Venom Pro Wrestling. Our guest for this week... Oh, sorry. Don't even want to just skip over probably the biggest news in Australian wrestling aside from the Super Showdown. Mark Davis and Kyle Fletcher won the Progress Tag Team Championships at the Hello Wembley show at the SSE Arena in Wembley, Wembley Stadium pretty much. So congratulations to those guys. I did try to get in contact with Mark, but he's a shy lad. So best of luck or congratulations to him. And if you're onto his Facebook page and that sort of stuff or his Instagram, get in there and buy some of their merch and support the Aussies over in England. Support the Aussies everywhere. That's what we do here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Our guest for this week is Lord Andy Coyne. I think I mentioned at the top of the interview, he's not only just the face of MCW, he's the face of Melbourne Wrestling pretty much, or the voice of Melbourne Wrestling. So I caught up with him and talked about everything going on this weekend in the place to be if you love pro wrestling in Australia, Melbourne. And that's right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Ladies and gentlemen, my guest for this episode is, well, I was going to call you the voice of Melbourne City Wrestling, but let's face it, you're pretty much the voice of Melbourne Wrestling because you're everywhere I look. Lord Andy Coyne, how are you, sir?
See, I do like trying being everywhere that I can be. But let's be honest, MCW is my home. It's my home promotion. It's what helped me get the foot in the door in Australia. So now I think voice of MCW. Now I like the ring of that.
Right, you are. Massive weekend you have coming up.
Well, oh my goodness, not even just for MCW, but let's be honest, it's a massive weekend for wrestling in general. I mean, on the Friday, we've obviously got New Horizons, MCW's New Horizons in the Thornbury Theatre, Friday the 5th of October. The next day, we've obviously got one of the biggest wrestling shows of all time, that of course being Wrestle Brunch. And then following after that, we've got this little WWE Super Showdown show that's going to be shown on the WWE Network.
It's the post-show.
Well, yeah, exactly. It's the Super Showdown. It's the post-show to Wrestle Brunch. Absolutely. But in all seriousness, I think, you know, obviously the entire weekend is all around the WWE Super Showdown show. MCW quite wisely putting a show the night before on a Friday. And I think the good thing is when you've got the WWE Showdown, when you've got a WWE in town, the good thing is that a lot of fans are in the area. Some of the best talents are in Australia are in the area. Mm. And it means that they can also put on an absolute cracking card as well. And look, even if you just go to one show or the other or all three shows, if you're going to make a whole weekend of it, look, I think it's going to be a great weekend for wrestling fans. Heck, you don't need, for to be a good fan, to be a great weekend if you're a wrestling fan, you don't even need to go to these shows. Just put it on the network and watch it. It's going to be a great spectacle. And I think a lot of people are going to talk about this weekend for a very long time.
Yeah, it's very much... And I think MCW are so smart in the way that they've done this because, and I'm really surprised that other promotions haven't tried to at least get something on the Friday night because, let's face it, there's going to be near on 100,000 wrestling fans descending on Melbourne. Not all of them are going to be able to go to MCW, you know what I mean?
I was going to say, it's very tricky though. I mean, obviously the Australian wrestling scene has sort of grown and, you know, it's getting more reputable. I mean, if you just look at the talent that we have now, it's just absolutely astronomically amazing. But the point I'm getting at is that the scene is also getting more competitive. And this is something I talk about with a lot of people. There are only so many weekends and with more and more promotions springing up, you know, those dates become very competitive. And thankfully for MCW, you know, they've got an established venue in the Thornbury Theatre. They're in the right time, the right place, and they were able to get the Friday night, and you know, good on them at the end of the day.
Yeah, exactly. And massively like star-studded card when you look at it, like from top to bottom, there's not really like when you talk about rising talents, there's not really a hell of a lot on this show because they're all established workers.
As a commentator, I love cliches. It's all killer, no filler, you know. But in all seriousness, obviously, just before I jumped onto the call with you, I had a quick look at the card. I needed a quick refresh. And you actually look at it and you go, bloody hell. You know, there's so many. The thing is I know we're probably going to talk about some of the matches. And the reality is, if we were to talk about in depth on every single match, we could be here for hours. But I'm just looking at it. I mean, you've got Caveman Oak versus Jonah Rock, Indy Hartwell versus Shazza McKenzie, The Untouchables taking on The Natural Classics, Adam Brooks taking on Slex for the Intercommonwealth Championship, and Gino Gambino against Robbie Eagles for the MCW Heavyweight Championship. I mean, it's very difficult to actually know where to start.
I'm personally, myself, I'm very interested in seeing Darry James and Lucky Hendricks because I haven't seen this sort of iteration of Lucky Hendricks live yet, and I'm really interested to see how it goes.
Do you know, I remember when Lucky first started, and it's been a very interesting evolution of his character. I mean, at the end of the day, he comes in and he's a guy who's like he's your baby face in the most traditional way a baby face could be a baby face. And obviously, as wrestlers become more confident and they get more comfortable, then you start to see the real them come through. And let me tell you, I've known Lucky for a few years since I came involved in the Melbourne wrestling scene. And, you know, deep down, he's always been a bit of a dickhead. So with the lover boy, you know, he's really taken that character and it's really driven him to his success. But at the same time, you know, this is a guy who wants to keep driving himself forward. And, you know, that's why he threw himself into a match with Will Ospreay. This is why he's now throwing himself into a match with Dowie James. I actually think a part of him was actually slightly offended that he was put into a match with his old tag team partner, TD. I think for him, he found that to be a step backwards. And this is a guy who's always looking forward, always not just a step forward, he wants to make that jump forward. And he's going in there against Dowie James, multiple-time champion, you know, MCW heavyweight, Intercommonwealth, tag team. He's won the Melbourne City Invitational Trophy as well. I mean, probably one of the most decorated guys you could throw yourself in there with. And yeah, he's throwing himself into the fire feet first. And, you know, absolutely, as a competitor, it's exactly what he should do. But hey, Dowie James, he's one of my bestest friends in the whole world. And something tells me at the end of the day, Hendricks is going to get pinned 1-2-3. It's that simple at the end of the day.
Yes. And one of my good mates, and we did cover a little bit, Adam Brooks and Slex, that's going to be an unbelievable match as well.
Oh, God, it has to be. You know, I am secretly an Adam Brooks fan. He was actually the first wrestler I saw when I first went to my first Australian show. Very impressed. At the time, I didn't know or what a Slex even was. But then, obviously, he made his return to MCW. And, you know, if you want to talk about returns, my God, this guy came back. He dominated. He's had phenomenal matches with Will Ospreay, with Kazuchika Okada. and he's holding the Intercom World Championship. And I generally think around the waist of Slex, that championship has become so prestigious in the grand scheme of things, it's absolutely ridiculous. And I love the fact that Adam Brooks, he went to the United Kingdom to expand his craft, to continue to build his career. And the minute he comes back to Australia, the first thing on his mind is that he wants that championship back. What does that say about that championship when you've got someone of that caliber saying, hey, I want that back, and I want to beat the very best to get it in the form of Slex? Ultimately, this is going to be a phenomenal match, and I think everyone is going to agree with that. It's going to be a show stealer.
Yeah, well, you look at the last four champions have been Robbie Eagles, Slex, Adam Brooks, and then Will Ospreay. I mean, that's a hell of a lineage already.
It is indeed. And I think ultimately, you know, there's always this discussion about, you know, does the man make the championship or the championship make the man? And ultimately, it is both. And if you look at all the people who have held that championship, that's why that title is so prestigious. But it's also why so many people want to get that title as well. And not just the likes of Slex, of Adam Brooks. But I'll tell you one thing, there's a lot of murmurings in the MCW locker room. There's a lot of guys who would love that opportunity to get a title shot at both the MCW Heavyweight and also the Intercommonwealth Championship. Because we're getting to the point now where you hold those titles and a spotlight actually appears on you, and it has such a massive ramifications for your future career, because then people internationally start looking at you, and that is valuable. That is very valuable for anyone who's looking to make wrestling a long-term career for themselves.
That's exactly right. And if you are one of those title holders, you better be ready to be facing the best in the world, because that's who come in now to MCW in those positions. So if you've got that belt, you don't get a month off, because there's always someone who's really ready to either come in from overseas to test themselves against them, or someone from underneath coming up to say that I am the next guy.
Well, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I think when Will Ospreay obviously came over to Australia and he won the championship and defended that championship proudly as well, I mean, that said it all, really, because then you had an international superstar holding that championship saying, hey, this is worth winning. And at the end of the day, I mean, who do you think is going to win that? I'm going to struggle to pick a winner, because on the one hand, you've got Slex, who's obviously, you know, he's got this momentum going for him, and it's undeniable momentum. And he's taken on Adam Brooks, and Adam Brooks, you know, he's come back. He got that first big victory on his return, and, you know, it'd be devastating for him if he actually loses his second match, and he's going to want to continue that momentum as well. I can't see either man backing down, ultimately, is what I'm saying. And all seriousness, the better man, whoever it will be the winner.
Yeah. Personally, I want Brooksy to win, mainly for the fact that I want him to win, and then I want Buddy Murphy to win the Cruiserweight.
That would be a lovely story, wasn't it? Buddy Murphy. Sorry, I think we've got a bit of a time delay there. I was going to say, obviously, Buddy Murphy, of course, you know, over in WWE. The following night, we'll be challenging for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship. And, you know, they are real-life best friends, Adam Brooks and Buddy Murphy. Buddy Murphy obviously helped train Adam Brooks, and you know, you've got to believe if both men can win those championships on that weekend, then after Super Showdown, they'll probably be heading down to the cookie bar down on Melbourne and drinking the night away.
Let's move away a little bit from MCW New Horizons and talk about yourself. Before getting into, like, commentary and all that, did you have eyes to wrestle yourself, or was it management?
To wrestle.
Yes, I didn't know. This is what I'm asking.
I actually used to wrestle because ultimately I think everyone enters wrestling and they follow their own path, so to speak. And let's be honest, most people with young aspirations of one day holding the WWE Championship in the main event of WrestleMania, you know, they all start as a trainee. They all start as a wrestling trainee. And that's exactly how I started my journey. And that was back in 1999. So, geez. Wow. It's the one thing I have in common with Mike Burr that we've actually started training in roughly the same year, I think, and that's really depressing. But in all seriousness, You know, in all seriousness, you know, I enjoyed wrestling, and I trained in a school in London, you know, and I've had trainings from the like of Doug Williams, who recently retired over in Progress Wrestling, Robbie Brookside, I managed to get some training in with as well. That's obviously several years before the WWE picked him up and used him in their training facility, and, you know, a number of sort of old school trainers at the time. And I did eventually make my debut, and I wrestled as the European Icon, because at the time there was a lot of strife in the United Kingdom, and there was a lot of mixed feelings about the European Union and the single currency and stuff like that. And of course, being wrestling, you sort of, you take these things and you turn it into a character for yourself. And I managed to wrestle for about 4 years. Unfortunately, and you know, some people know this, some people don't, but unfortunately, I've been born with a sort of a hip defect. And because of that hip defect, I hung on as long as I could. But ultimately, you know, the long run is, look, wrestling is physical. Wrestling destroys the body of even the best athletes. And I'm certainly not the best athlete. And it was just wise to stop whilst I was ahead. But thankfully, during that time, I tried my hand as a referee. I also got to obviously become a commentator as well over in the United Kingdom. And thankfully, that's where I found my niche. And in fact, it was thanks to the videotapes that I commentated on in the United Kingdom, the MCW owner, Mikey J, happened to have those videotapes. So when I actually landed in Australia, I sent him a message saying, oh, hi, my name's Andy. This is my experience as a commentator. It turns out he had half those matches. He had half those videos. So actually, we had a really great chat in the pub. And by pure coincidence, I think the commentator who they were using at the time was looking to leave. So timing was just absolutely impeccable, as it often is in wrestling. And I just slid right in there, right next to Travis Houston. And that began my journey with Melbourne City Wrestling. And I think I've been with them now for the best part of 5 years, and it's gone so quickly. I mean, insanely quickly.
Yeah, the really, like, years in wrestling just fly by, really, when you don't realize what you're like. I the other day, you know, you got those Facebook memories.
Oh gosh, they come, those things, they haunt you.
Yeah, it popped up, and I think I'd put a status of going to check out a local wrestling show. Who's keen? And this was, I think, back in, was it 2012 now, and that was the same. That was a show that I ended up going to with the guy that's now Big Brody Marshall. The two of us went together. Saw it, we went, wow, we want to start training. And that's where it all started. You know what I mean? Just to be able to pinpoint that, but then go, gee, that's been 6 years already. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I remember when I started with MCW, and I at the time, I already liked the vibe of the company. There was just something about it. I think it reminded me of a promotion I was involved with in the UK, and I kind of saw a similar path for this promotion. But then obviously we are where we are now at the Thornbury Theatre, and a lot of our shows look, you know, seriously polished and phenomenal. And it's when you see photos of when I first got involved with MCW, and it's actually really hard to believe how far it's come. I don't even really remembering the shows being like that. I think in my head, you know, rose-tinted glasses, I always remembered it being quite this spectacle. And now MCW legitimately is a spectacle. Yeah. If you've ever been to, obviously, we'll be at the Thornbury Theatre New Horizons on Friday. The Thornbury Theatre is probably one of my favourite wrestling venues. There's something quite grandiose about it, but at the same time, it's not oversized. There's a nice, intimate atmosphere in there still, and that atmosphere can get very thick and sort of, you know, very infectious with the crowd. And, you know, I think the fans just love a good night out there.
Yeah, how was the Aquatic Centre in comparison? Because I know it's a bigger...
Oh, the Aquatic Centre! Yeah. Actually, you know what? It's interesting. I mean, that show was obviously very exciting for all of us. MCW 100, you know, 1,200 odd people, give or take. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head, but, you know, it was a great atmosphere to be a part of. I think the one thing I will say, and it's something that a lot of people said, is that I think for the wrestlers and the people in the ring, I don't know what it was like out in the crowd, but for the wrestlers and the people in the ring, it obviously the crowd was a little further away. So I don't think the atmosphere was quite as intense, mm-hmm. But having spoken to people outside, and I think maybe the wrestlers, maybe some of them were a little concerned, but saying that, from people I've spoken to in the crowd, apparently it was just as raucous anyway. But, you know, that's just the nature of what it is. I think the reason why some people prefer indie wrestling versus more mainstream wrestling is actually to do with venue size. I mean, I've had the privilege of ring announcing and commentating in shows for, like, anywhere from 70 people, God, actually less than that, 50 people, all the way up to, I think the largest crowd would have been about 3,500. And obviously the bigger the venue, that you start to lose that connection with the crowd a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think as the wrestlers start to compete in front of larger and larger crowds, you know, hopefully they'll get over that paranoia that, oh gosh, maybe the fans aren't enjoying this as much. No, they are. They're just unfortunately a few feet further away from you, unfortunately.
Yeah, but and of course again,
I was just going to say, it goes back to why the Formbury Theatre is such a great venue, because, you know, you can cram about 650, 700 people in there, and, you know, they're still very close, very intimate, and it's a hell of an atmosphere. And, you know, it's difficult to capture that, but as MCW gets to that point where it needs to jump in venue size, you know, I'm sure there's going to be a little experimentation with venues to find that perfect venue as we start to grow some more.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, that's what PWG have done now.
Yep.
Over in America, they've had to go from the small hall in Reseda now to the bigger hall, and the atmosphere is the same, but it's still a little different. And it's probably the same as they say when be the same for the say when you're at the MCG, because it's got there's so much room above for the noise and the thing to escape, and that's probably the same in the bigger venues. You don't have that enclosed sort of lower roof, if you know what I mean. Sort of, so the noise can't escape. Mm. It comes right back at you, so that the boys in the ring can actually feel the reactions from the crowd.
And this is it. And again, the wrestlers, they feed off that. You know, they feed off the energy from the crowd. So I think there can be a slight disconnect when you go to bigger venues. But it's just something you've got to work around. And it's something that, you know, happens, but it happens as the company grows.
Yeah, and it's a good problem to have, isn't it?
It is a good problem to have. It's like, oh, damn. Damn how successful we are. You know, damn the fact that we're growing.
Oh, yeah. I don't hear the crowd yelling my name anymore. This is terrible.
Well, that is the one downside of having a smaller venue, is that even it's when you hear the small voices and they go, you're rubbish, Andy. It's like, yeah, shh, you know, shut in the back of your hand.
Oftentimes, they're harder to work.
I get a good mix. I get the occasional jeer when I go out there. So, you know.
Have you, When you first started in Australia, did you find the fact that the accent and that worked against you in a sort of way? Because Australians, by sort of nature, will go at the English.
Yeah, well, no. Well, I was going to say, no, the accent was a thing. But obviously there are good things about it. There are pros and cons. And I would definitely say that the pros outweighed the cons. I think, you know, thankfully, I'm from an area of the United Kingdom where I like to think I speak reasonably clear. And I think it's something that's helped me. I think, obviously, I position myself as a more traditional announcer in my style. And mm-hmm. I think the English accent helps with that image. But, you know, conversely, there's been the odd obstacle. I've had the occasional wrestler come over to me and tell me how to pronounce their name, because I've been pronouncing it with a slightly Northern English twang. I've been calling him Nick Burry for the last several years, and finally now that he's the tag champ, he comes over with the belt on his shoulder and goes, it's Berry, mate. Okay, sorry, I didn't realize. Unfortunately, it is just the nature of my accent. It's something I can't really help, so I need to be informed, because I will look at something, I'll pronounce it a certain way, and then I'll be told it was wrong. So, but hey, that, like I say, that's pretty small in the grand scheme of things. I think thankfully being English has actually weirdly helped me in this. But at the end of the day, it comes down to who is also the right man for the job and the right combination of people as well. Mm-hmm. So if you look at the commentary desk at the moment, we've got myself, we've got Lindsay Howarth, we've also got crackerjack. So, but you know, in all seriousness, those three were a pretty good combination altogether. You know, we've got slightly different insights, we've got slightly different levels of experience. It's good to have an English accent, it's good to have the Australian accent, and it's good to have whatever crackerjack is.
As for Wrestle Brunch, Has there been a lot of car matches announced for that card yet?
I was having a quick look. We've obviously got Funtime Phil defending the Wrestle Rock Championship against Marcus Muffinoff from Russia. So that'll be pretty good. We've also got, first time ever, Robbie Eagles taking on Stevie Philippe.
Yes.
Which should be a hell of a hook for Wrestle Rock.
It's the only show that I might have an issue getting to, only for the fact that I will probably be hungover. But that will be a match that I really do want to see.
Look, I think at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think a huge amount of matches have been announced for Wrestle Rock. But, you know, let's be honest, Wrestle Rock, or Wrestle Brunch, I should say, for this show, it's more about the experience and the atmosphere. In fact, not this one, but the one that we've just had. So when Wrestle Rock made their return, that was the first Wrestle Rock I got to go to, and it was a very unique atmosphere. And, you know, look, I think the best way to describe Wrestle Brunch is, if you're going down to the WWE show and you're thinking to yourself, where can I go get plastered before that show? The Corner Hotel is going to be the place to be. There's going to be a great show on. There's going to be some fun matches. There's going to be a potential match of the year candidate in Robbie Eagles taking on Philippe as well. You know, it's a great place to start. And I think the Wrestle Rock atmosphere is a little more laid back. It's a little more jovial. It doesn't take yourself quite as seriously as MCW, and that's a good thing. Mm. And I think that's the kind of atmosphere that you want before you then walk on down to the MCG to watch Triple H and The Undertaker one last time.
Yeah, it does. It feels like a WrestleMania weekend, doesn't it?
Sadly, it's still on the bucket list. I've never been to a WrestleMania.
Yes,
I've not experienced a WrestleMania weekend. And it's when my various wrestling friends and colleagues go over there, and they come back and they tell you some of the stories, and it's like, damn it, I've got to get up to that one day.
Yeah.
So hopefully one day I will get to do that. So I don't know if it does feel like a WrestleMania weekend, but I like the fact that it is a whole weekend dedicated to wrestling here in Australia.
Yeah, I think it's mainly because you live in Melbourne, but for someone like me who's coming from interstate, that's why it feels like a, because I can rock up on the, like, I take the day off work on the Friday and I fly over, so I'm there on the Friday during the day. Then that whole weekend.
Well, I was gonna say, for the interstate fans, it must be awesome. I mean, it must be difficult for various interstate fans where you see a show you really want to go to, and it's a plane flight away. And, you know, that's kind of a hard, not a gamble per se, but, you know, it's like, oh, gosh, is a show worth a ticket? Is it worth a plane flight? So when you've got everything happening on one weekend, come on, it's a no-brainer. That completely justifies that plane ticket.
That's exactly. Well, see, I'd already bought my showdown tickets because massive Undertaker Mark. Want to see his last, like, could be possibly his last singles match. Definitely his last singles match in Australia. Thought there's one thing I do want to see. I'll probably never get to a WrestleMania, so this is probably the best I'll ever get. I want to go and see that. And then when MCW announced that they were putting on New Horizons, I'm just like, wow, geez, I'm going a day early because I might as well make a weekend of this.
Yeah, and so thankfully for me, all I've got to do is leave my office on Friday and scoot down as quick as possible to the Thornbury Theatre. So, you know, thankfully, you've got further to go than myself.
Yeah, I've got to be up at like 4 in the morning to get there. But, I mean, where else can you be? Because you think about it, if there is, like is purported to be, near on 100,000 people that are going to be there, that's 100,000 wrestling fans. That's people that are just like us. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And a whole city of people that are just like us that are going to be there.
Highly, highly concentrated into one area.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's just, I think it's just, because you always have, always, well, not always, but most of the times you have that stigma around some people where they go, oh, wrestling, oh, that. But we won't have that because there are 100,000 of us. We outnumber you this weekend.
Well, one thing I'm potentially looking forward to, because obviously as a ring announcer, as a commentator, I always enjoy meeting my counterparts from other promotions. It doesn't happen very often.
No.
Because ring announcers and commentators, they don't travel. You know, they don't get to travel. And so if anyone out there is a ring announcer or commentator for another promotion sees me about, come say hello. I'd love to meet you because I do enjoy it. I think one of the nicest series of chats I had is, obviously, I was very privileged to be a part of the New Japan show when that came over in February. And actually, all the various ring announcers for all those different shows all messaged one another to get advice and tips and things like that. And it was actually really nice that we were all able to talk quite openly with one another about how to pronounce certain names and how not to get beaten up by various Japanese wrestlers if we get the announcements wrong.
Oh, I remember we had Fale up here in Queensland for Venom Pro Wrestling.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the guy that does ring announcing for Venom Pro Wrestling is like 1,000 years old.
Uh-oh.
And I'd forgotten completely. You know how you're just busy during the day?
Yep.
And it got to be like, I think, the second last match before he was about to be on. And it just clicked. For some reason, it clicked in my mind. And I've just gone bolting through backstage to grab Gino Gambino and say, can you tell Farley not to attack the ring announcer? And he goes, why? I said, because he'll probably die. So have a look at the age of him. He's like, oh, right, yep, cool, fine, yes, okay.
Well, this is also how I know that Gino Gambino genuinely likes me, because I think he gave him the same word of advice as well. At the end of the day, I have a dicky hip. I don't need some absolute massive monster of a man in Battle of Farley throwing me around the ring, to be honest.
Yes, that's exactly right. But no, I feel exactly what you're saying, because as a manager, I hardly ever see other managers, because they tend to be very interesting people, unless it's like a Mark Williamson or a Benny English. They don't get to travel a hell of a lot, and I think that's really just indicative of the WWE influence, whereas if the guys can talk and we don't need the managers, so it's good. It'll be good that I can actually maybe catch up with one or two and have a chat and talk about some stuff, because
isn't it interesting though? Because if you watch WWE at the moment, they're actually are bringing in more managers.
Yeah, but they're all wrestlers. You notice that they're all guys that are either training or, you know, they're trained or actually in ring competitors, which they just put
in
their roles.
You can't blame them though. I mean,
no.
You know, on the one hand, I mean, if you've got somebody like Drake Maverick and also Leo Rush, and they're trying to find an opportunity for them, and at the same time, yeah, of course they've come in as wrestlers, but if they've got the gift of the gab, it's ridiculous not to use them, to be honest.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Part of me.
But if the WWE is listening, there is no better. There is no wrestler that can be as good a commentator as any of us. So.
part of me hates it, because that's just something I know that. Well, I already know. Something I know I can never strive for is to be a manager in that, because they just don't exist anymore. But yeah, it's just one of those
times.
Things.
Times do change, though.
Yes, yes. It's just.
I was going to say times do change, because even if you go back 5 years, I mean, you'd be saying, "Oh, they don't have managers anymore, or they only accept a certain type of talent." I mean, it wasn't that long ago where the idea is you had to be like a bodybuilder-esque physique to get into the WWE, and now they're very open to that. And I think tastes do change. So, hey, you never know at the end of the day. So it's important not to sort of give up hope.
No, well, that is true. That is true. It's been so very good to talk to you, Your Lordship. I will hopefully catch up with you on the weekend.
Well, like I say, please do. And obviously, let me do my last bit of shilling.
Yeah. I was going to get to that, mate.
Gentlemen, sorry, what's that?
I was going to get to that.
Okay, good. Just checking. I get murdered if I don't do this.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend is going to be absolutely massive. Obviously, we've got WWE Super Showdown. They really don't need my help promoting that.
No.
But look, if you're looking to get trolleyed before the show, don't forget to check out Wrestle Brunch. That'll be at the Corner Hotel around about Saturday lunchtime. But please check their social medias just to make sure you get there when the doors actually do open. But also MCW New Horizons, Thornbury Theatre, Friday, the 5th of October. Yes, that's right. That's this Friday. Doors open 6:30 p.m. and the show starts at 7:30. Take my word advice. Do not go there at 7:30. All the seats will be taken. All the best spots will be taken. And I have heard from the little birdie that there aren't actually that many tickets left. So no. Do try and get your tickets before you go. Or if not there, get there early. Obviously, I'm not going to read the whole card because, oh damn, the card is absolutely massive. Mm-hmm. But, you know, K-Manug versus Jonah Rock. What a phenomenal heavyweight match that is going to be. We're going to see the Natural Classics, possible future MCW Tag Team Champions, taking on the Untouchables in a very rare contest. Of course, the women are also in action. We've got Kellyanne taking on Avery, Adam Brooks versus Sex for the Intercommonwealth Championship, and then Gino Gambino, the MCW champion, has to put the title on the line against the man who recently pinned him in the form of the Sniper of the Skies, Robbie Eagles. So, ladies and gentlemen, please enjoy this weekend. There's a lot going on. It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, and also, if people want to follow you, my sir, on socials and all that.
Look, you can find me on all the social media. You know, go on Facebook. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. Just look up Lord Andy Coyne. Please follow me. I'm trying to build up my social media presence, just like we all are. And I'd love some followers, and I'd love to hear some feedback from people as well.
Awesome. Lord Andy, thank you very much for joining me, sir.
You're very welcome. And have a good night yourself.
This is an abridged version of where the action is this weekend, because let's face it, all the action is happening in Melbourne. You've got New Horizons on the Friday night at the Thornbury Theatre. Of course, you get your tickets, and make sure you get your tickets really quickly, because there was, when I went to, and this was last weekend, when I went to buy my tickets, there was only general admission left, and I'm not too sure how many there is left of that. So it's an absolute stacked card for New Horizons. I'll just run it down real quickly. I think Lord Andy Coyne did it in the interview, but I'm going to do it again just to re-emphasize how strong this card is. You've got Mikey Broderick versus JXT versus Marcus Cool. Marcus Cool is from New Zealand, I do believe. Really, really good merit wrestler. One of the wrestlers I'm really looking forward to checking out live. That's just what the first match that I can see popping up. You've got Caveman Ugg against Jonah Rock. These two have torn rings down all around the country, and you're going to see it if you're in Melbourne for New Horizons. Indy Hartwell against Shazza McKenzie. You got one of the standard bearers for women's wrestling in Australia over the last couple of years, Shazza McKenzie, coming up against the new up-and-coming Indy Hartwell, who has taken the Australian pro wrestling scene by its throat over the last year. You've got the Untouchables, that is Damian Slater and Marcus Pitt, taking on the Natural Classics, that the Philippe brothers. I can't wait to see that match myself. That's going to be unbelievable. Kellyanne against Avery. Again, another two of the best women's wrestlers in the country locking horns. Unbelievable. Dowie James and Lockie Hendricks. Like I said in the interview, Lockie Hendricks is a guy I am so looking forward to seeing live. I can't wait to see what this iteration of the Lockie Hendricks character is actually live. And, of course, Dowie James, who is by far one of the best workers in the country today. Not to mention the main event, Robbie Eagles taking on Gino Gambino for the MCW Championship. An absolute melter of a main event. So get yourself down to the Thornbury Theatre if you're hitting up WWE this weekend. Get your tickets now, because I'm telling you, they're going to sell out. It's going to be absolutely packed. I cannot wait to feel the energy in that crowd this Friday night. And then if you can't get there because that is sold out, get your asses to Wrestle Brunch the next day. It starts at midday, so it's going to be a nice little warm-up. Go down to the corner hotel, get your snitty or your palmer or your palmy, depending where you're from. Sit down and watch some awesome wrestling. Not many matches have been announced for the card, but the one that I am waiting for, I'm really hoping to get there if I don't have a hangover, because let's face it, I don't drink that often. So I'm going out this weekend. I'm having a few at the MCW show. I'm hoping that I can be a responsible podcaster and be able to get to Wrestle Brunch. But who knows? I'm going to try and drag myself there to see Robbie Eagles versus Stevie Philippe. First time ever. Sniper of the Skies versus The Natural. I don't know what to tell you about this. Get to the Corner Hotel in Richmond, WrestleRock.com. I don't think it's too far from the MCG, of course. My Melbourne geography is shocking, but I believe it's not too far at all. So get down there at midday, watch that show, head straight from that show to the MCG, check out the WWE, check out all the Aussies on the WWE card, your Buddy Murphys, your Iconics. I mean, I can't wait. This is the WrestleMania weekend for Australia. So, and I really do hope that we all get out and support everything this weekend in Melbourne. If you're heading to there for the WWE, get out and support everything you can Australian, everything you can wrestling, because the more we show enthusiasm that they're here supporting the local talent, the more that they're going to come back, which means we're going to get more of the local talent putting on the shows the night before. It just feeds on each other and feeds, and that is what this show is all about, feeding the base of professional wrestling in this country, because it is one of the biggest hotbeds for professional wrestling around the world. If you didn't believe me before, go and check out the shows this weekend. If you just watch WWE and you don't check out the local scene, go and check out one of these shows and find out what you've been missing. And then if you live in a state and you go back home, find a local show and check that out as well. Because I guarantee you that if you head to a local show, you will enjoy it and you will go back again, and you will tell your friends about it, because we put on some of the best product in the world today. And that is it for where the action is this weekend. All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up right now. Once again, big thanks to my guest, Lord Andy Coyne. Thank you very much for coming on, sir, and talking about what's going on in Melbourne this weekend. I believe I probably went on a rant for where the action is about it, so, I mean, you can listen to that part and you'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't already, though, guys, make sure you subscribe to WRA. It's free and you can do it on iTunes, Stitcher, or anywhere you get your podcast from. If you do stop by iTunes, give us a rating and review while you're there. Give us a 5-star. Helps us get inside more ears. Share the show. Spread the word. And get out there and support Australian wrestling. I don't know why I have to keep hammering this into you people. Get out there and support Australian wrestling. Also, you make sure you like us on Facebook. Just search Wrestle Radio Australia. And on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU. Or me personally at Beast Eastman. If you haven't already, go and check the back catalogue. We did a podcast not too long ago called Wrestling With Your Demons. A very insightful podcast. I'm going to keep banging on about it because I think it was one of the most important podcasts we've ever done here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Anyway, we do have some shirts on Redbubble. That's redbubble.com/people/toddy33. Check that out. Or just go to redbubble.com and then in the search bar type in Wrestle Radio Australia. We have a whole line of Wrestle Radio Australia shirts. Any purchase of those shirts, or I think they can get coffee mugs and hoodies and all that stuff. Any profits going from that will be going to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, supporting men's health issues. Because like I say on every episode since I've done Wrestle Radio Australia, ever since I've done that episode on Wrestling With Your Demons, statistics showed, well, they showed before when we recorded it, that 6 men a day end up ending their lives to suicide. And now that the statistic has gotten worse, it's 6.4 men a day, Australian men a day, take their own lives. And we need to stop that. And that's what we're here supporting for Wrestle Radio Australia at the moment. Till the end of November, any profits made from the sale of any of those products will be going to Beyond Blue and Gotcha for Life, who do great work in that area. I'm not even too sure what song I'm going to play for the go home song, so I'm just going to throw it out there. So whatever you hear at the end of the show is what's happening. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for listening to the show. Thank you very much for supporting us over the last, well, since we've sort of rebooted the show. I want to thank so many of the people that have done all that. It really does mean a lot to me that you're joining us on the crusade of making professional wrestling in Australia heard from. It really does warm my heart to see that. And yeah, if you're in Melbourne and you do see me, come up and say hi. I'll probably be wearing something with Wrestle Radio Australia on it, God knows. But yeah, come up and let me know that you listen to the show and tell me what you like and what you don't like about the show, and I'll probably ignore it. But until then, this has been Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm Todd Eastman. We'll see you more hopefully this weekend.